welcome to Travel Fun. My name is Mary Beth Clementi, and I'm the host of this talk show on travel. And I'm really excited about this week's show. I just returned from Denver and spent a whole afternoon at the Denver Art Museum, one of my favorite places in Colorado. And my main reason for going was to visit the Yves Saint Laurent retrospective. And I just found it astounding. It exceeded my expectations. So I'm still pretty high on that. And I have Tara Moberly on the phone from the press department of the Denver Art Museum. And we are indeed going to be chatting about this extraordinary exhibition that the Denver Art Museum is putting on there. And we will also talk about the museum in general. And another exhibition that is lovely that I enjoyed, and that's a traveling show called Read My Pins. It showcases Madeleine Albright's collection of pins. I would like to welcome Tara Moberly to Travel Fun. Hi, Tara.
Hi, how are you?
Great. So, wow, the Yves Saint Laurent show. Well, let's talk about the museum first. Let's keep people a little bit in anticipation for anybody who has not been to the Denver Art Museum. Describe it.
Well, the Art Museum, it is the largest museum between Chicago and the West Coast. We have more than 70,000 pieces in our permanent collection. We have two really remarkable and beautiful but very different buildings that showcase everything from modern and contemporary collections, special exhibitions like Yves Saint Laurent, as well as pre-Columbian and Spanish colonial art.
And I think the spotlight has really been put on the Denver Art Museum in recent years with the building of the new building there. And talk a little bit about that.
In 2006, we opened up the new building, which is the Hamilton Building. It's quite hard to miss, that's for sure. It's a lovely building that has 146,000 square feet, five levels of art, and it's really just a dramatic addition to the Denver skyline. A lot of people often say it kind of looks like a boat that's sort of anchored near downtown, and it's just a really wonderful, spectacular building that allows us to bring shows like Yves Saint Laurent to Denver.
Most of the exhibitions in the Hamilton Building are traveling exhibitions?
We have pretty big space for a few traveling or special exhibitions like Yves Saint Laurent, but it does house some of our permanent collection like the modern and contemporary, as well as oceanic art. And we also have a space that's become sort of a changing and evolving studio space that usually has some kind of art making going on to accompany whatever special exhibition is on view.
And I, a couple of years ago, I spent, a couple of hours, actually, in your European art collection, which I found very impressive, and that was lovely as well. Now, I'm wondering about the Western art. Is that at the Denver Art Museum?
It is. We have a really fantastic collection of Western American art, and we've had a really lovely 2012 thus far because we've had a few special exhibitions. One was Ed Ruscha's On the Road, and we're about to have a Theodore Waddell exhibition open that really provide a contemporary take next to our permanent collection, which has this really wonderful collection of Western art that is a little bit more realistic and the straightforward depiction of cowboy themes. And that's actually on two floors. You can find it in both the North Building and in the Hamilton Building.
Okay. I have to say, I haven't been able to spend as much time in that section as I want, but it's always nice to have something to go back to.
Yeah, it's, you know, we really have a great collection, and I think Thomas Smith, the curator, does a wonderful job of bringing in rotating exhibitions to kind of add a little compliment and always keep it fresh and new, even if you have been there and seen it before.
Exactly. So let's talk about the Yves Saint Laurent exhibition, the retrospective that opened at the Denver Art Museum March 25th, and it is continuing through July 8th. And it's just astounding the fact that it only was going to three destinations in the whole world: Paris, Madrid, and Denver. Wow.
We are very excited to have this here and to be the only North American location, and it's just a stunning look at 40 years of Yves Saint Laurent's creativity and output, and there are 200 outfits and garments in there, as well as, you know, earrings and shoes, and just the whole looks are put together, and it's really a wonderful look at his creative process and how fashion has changed and evolved over the years.
Well, before we get into actually talking about the exhibition, how was Denver selected to be the only North American city? I'm sure you've been asked this question a gazillion times.
Well, you know, our director, Christoph Heinrich, saw the exhibition in Paris when it was first on view at the Petit Palais, and he thought it was just phenomenal and stunning, and made the foundation aware that Denver would love to host it and be able to share it with our audiences, and began working with them and talking with them. And I think one thing that they really enjoyed was that the new Hamilton building, and it really is built to show an exhibition like this. It has very dramatic walls and exhibition spaces that helped them see what it would look like in Denver, and ultimately to decide to bring it here as well.
And now, when was it on view in Paris?
It was on Paris in 2008.
Okay. Gee, I didn't know about it at that time. Well, I just want to say, I just thought it was so fantastic. I have seen many fashion exhibitions and fashion shows, and actually a wide variety of exhibitions, having lived in Paris for 11 years and having circulated in that world. I would often go to the Musée de la Mode and all of the different fashion shows and exhibitions, and I was just astounded at what you have created at the Denver Art Museum. So that's my personal review. Now, why don't you explain it a little bit more in detail?
Sure. You know, like I said, we have 200 garments here, really fantastic outfits that are show you really the breadth and depth of his work. Alongside of that, we have personal object of his, from his desk to, you know, swatches that he kept to help him plan for the next exhibition. So it's really a look at the fashion, but also the history of this man's life, and really a history of, I think, women's rights in some ways. We see in the exhibition, you know, the transition from women being expected to wear skirts and dresses to being allowed to wear pants and trousers, and really a fun look back at all of the work he did and how it really has impacted how we dress today.
And I thought it was really nice how you integrated a lot of media in that, from photography to video, interviews with him, fashion show clips, and it really is a very dynamic show in that sense.
It is. We really wanted people to walk away with a really wonderful understanding of his whole life and have an experience while they were there. And so we do have, like, many personal photographs of him, as well as photographs of his work on the runway or in ad campaigns, as well as the media. I think especially the videos really give you a sense of what was happening at the time that he was making these clothes, and get to see some of these external influences that he probably synthesized when he was making the clothing.
Let's talk about the overall visual beauty of the show. And I think that that's something that's what impressed me the most. The whole installation of it, the one room where you have it lined with all of his swatches.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just so colorful. And it really gave you a sense of the detail that went into any one of his creations in finding the right fabric, the right color,
right,
the right hue. And to see all of that on display was beautiful.
And those really were his, you know, that we call that room the Wall of Colors. And those were swatches that he kept in a book. And like I said, used for his planning, really was meticulous about thinking forward. And when you look at them, I think what I love is that they may be a very similar in shade, but there's a different texture. So he was really thinking about every little aspect of how he was making the clothes and was saving those to use for future reference as well.
And another thing that was emphasized in the exhibition a lot is his love for women, and that he always worked on live models, something that was a little bit unusual. Most designers would work on the mannequins, the wooden mannequins, but he preferred to work on live models to see their attitude, their expression, and he really created for them.
He did. You know, he really had a goal of making women feel empowered through what they were wearing and feel, you know, I think we all know how great we feel when we put on an outfit and walk out the door, kind of have that little extra, you know, bounce in our step. And you can see that in the way that he made the clothes. And, you know, he wanted to make women feel comfortable and feel loved and empowered with what they were wearing. And you see that in the way that he made the trousers and that, you know, the pea coat and all of these pieces that are still so much a staple in how we dress today. He really was thinking about how they would look on women's bodies and wanted to be realistic in that sense.
Yves Saint Laurent, of course, is very well known for the tuxedo,
yes,
or le smoking, as it's called in French, and making that a wonderful fashion statement for women, something that was before him only associated with men. And I think my jaw really dropped at the exhibition when I walked into the big room and saw, I don't know how many tuxedos you have on display there, but the black on black, the black tuxedos against the black wall, and rows of maybe four rows from top to bottom, mm-hmm, on two different walls. That was spectacular.
There are more than 30 tuxedos on the wall, the Le Smoking wall, and it really is dynamic, and they're so beautiful, and I think the thing that you really take away from it, too, is how varied they are. It's still a tuxedo, but there are so many differences in each of the ones that's up there that it really shows you that one garment can be worn in so many different ways by so many different women.
There's just so much to talk about, and I certainly don't want to give it away, but the exhibition really develops his how he was so inspired by art and artists, from Andy Warhol to Picasso and Braque and the different Van Gogh, his famous creations, embroidered jackets, also different countries, China, Russia, how he was inspired by that. And the end, finishing it off with the ball gowns. I mean, what a spectacular finale.
Yeah, and it's representative of the same sort of thing and atmosphere that happened at his last runway show, where he was surrounded by so many of the people that he had worked with and showing off just these amazing creations that he had made. And the one thing that you see in there is that, you know, some of the gowns are very ornate and have a lot of details, and some of them are not and a little bit more straightforward, but still just as beautiful. So again, you see that there is a dress for every woman. There is a pantsuit for every woman.
Tara, let's take a short break and come back and talk about who should attend the Yves Saint Laurent retrospective in Denver. I am visiting with Tara Moberly from the Denver Art Museum, and we are talking about the Yves Saint Laurent retrospective and also the Denver Art Museum in general, and we will also be chatting about Madeleine Albright's wonderful collection of pins. We'll be right back.
Pour un blues entendu tout au fond de la nuit d'une petite rue de la ville endormie. Moi j'ai le cœur qui jazz, j'ai le cœur qui jazz. Soleil. Moi j'ai le cœur qui jazz, j'ai le cœur qui jazz.
Hello, and welcome back to Travel Fun. I am visiting with Tara Moberly from the Denver Art Museum, and we have been chatting about the Yves Saint Laurent show in Denver. Now, would you call this a blockbuster show?
You know, I think it's a major exhibition. Yeah, it's definitely, Denver's the only place to see it, so it's a can't-miss opportunity.
Right. And I was impressed with how well-organized it was. For a blockbuster show, there were a lot of people there, however, still plenty of room to appreciate all of the works. I didn't feel as though I was squeezed out the way I have in some other shows. And now, does every ticket include the audio tour? Because that was really nice.
It does. Every ticket comes with the audio tour, and it's great. There are stops throughout the exhibition where you can take a few moments to hear sort of an extended description of not only the garment, but influences that went into making it, things that were happening at the time that it was designed. So it's really a bit of a history lesson as well.
Right. Who do you think should attend this show?
Well, you know, I think everyone will enjoy this show. We've had a lot of couples coming, you know, husbands and wives, and I think there's really something for everyone here. You may not consider yourself a fashionista or be terribly interested in fashion, but I think that there are so many other components to this and really give you a sense of some historical aspects and just things that you would have never imagined would go into the process, that really everyone can take something away.
I so agree with you. And, of course, when I was there, the majority of the people attending were women. However, I did notice a number of men, and they definitely seemed to be enjoying it. And I thought, this is just so visually stunning, so beautiful. And also, there's so much information and so much that you learn about the creative process and history and all that. I said, really, everybody would enjoy this. Just like I'm not a big baseball fan. However, I know that if I went to a professional baseball game, I would really enjoy that. I did that many years ago, going to a Yankees game, and it's a show. It's a show. What can you say?
It really is. There's a lot going on there, and it gives everybody a moment to enjoy different things.
Yes, so go see it, the Yves Saint Laurent, the retrospective at the Denver Art Museum through July 8th, 2012. And one other thing I should mention is that with the ticket, you receive something called the Style Pass, and that entitles you to have lots of little perks and discounts at many establishments around Denver, and that's kind of nice, a free glass of champagne here. And
yeah, I think we have over 90 partners last time we checked. It was kind of a growing list for a while there, but it's got tons of specials and deals that you can get at different restaurants and shops around Denver, as well as a few in Boulder. So make sure you grab that when you come to the show. They should give it to you at the welcome desk when
exactly.
You purchase your ticket.
And, you know, it's such a big happening for Denver. I imagine a number of people have traveled to Denver purposely to see this show, people from across the country.
You know, we've certainly heard of some people coming. I think a lot of people, I always see on Twitter every now and then someone that's sad that they can't get out here to see it. But we are seeing some people traveling, and I think it's always a good time for, you know, old friends to get together and girlfriends to meet up and have an afternoon. So you're seeing a lot of that, too.
Right. The one thing I just want to finish up with is think about what you're going to wear before you go to the show. Because I have to say, you know, so many people know that I lived 11 years in Paris. I once had a shopping service in Paris. I actually organized visits behind the scenes at the couture houses. I never went to Yves Saint Laurent for that. I did attend a fashion show. However, I would do it at Dior and Nina Ricci. And so I know how to dress for these kinds of events or whatever. However, I have been living in Colorado for about 10 years, and I'm just loving this other dimension of myself. And I thought, okay, how should I dress? Should I? And I decided, oh, I'm just going to go sort of alpine cowboy and be kind of casual chic, but in a Colorado sort of way. Well, I can't tell you how much I regretted that. When you're looking at all these gorgeous clothes, you just really, you know, if nothing else, I could have had a silk flower pinned to my lapel or something. So keep that in mind, men and women. Consider what to wear, because you'll just get into it more. Tara, let's shift gears here and talk about another very informative, fashion-forward exhibition you have going on at the Denver Art Museum, and that is entitled Read My Pins, and that's a traveling show. Tell us about that.
Yeah, Read My Pins, the Madeleine Albright collection, features more than 200 pins, which were worn by former Secretary of State Madeleine Albright during her various diplomatic tenures and in her life after being a diplomat.
And it is really interesting because I knew her for wearing beautiful brooches, and I just thought that was her look. Kind of Margaret Thatcher did a lot of that too. And in fact, one time I saw her on TV and I recognized she had this beautiful dove pin from Cécile Jean, a French accessory house. And I happened to have earrings like that. And I thought, oh, isn't that nice? And I think I cited that in one of my Paris books about shopping and touring. I mentioned even Madeleine Albright likes to shop here. And I just thought it was about fashion. I didn't realize that these pins were a way for her to convey some kind of a message in the people she was meeting with.
Yeah, you know, she did always like pins, and in the beginning it wasn't necessarily just about that, but at one point in particular, an Iraqi diplomat, it had been in the Iraqi newspapers that, you know, they were calling her an unparalleled serpent. And so at her next meeting with them, she chose on purpose this gold serpent pin that she had and kind of kicked it off from there, where she would use her brooches and her pins to express a mood that she was feeling or, you know, to comment on the situation that she might be discussing with another diplomat in a nonverbal way.
Yes, and the exhibition at the Denver Art Museum is very well laid out in that you might feature one of the pins and a picture of her meeting with that leader and the story behind the meeting and what she was trying to convey. And every story is fascinating.
They are. I think it's a really good introduction to international relations. That seems like such a concept that many of us don't really have to deal with all that often. And I see when you're in the exhibition and you're looking at the pins and you're reading these stories, you do get a sense of how those things work and the real delicate nature of them and yet the wonderful outcomes that can happen as well. So it's a good introduction to sort of international relations and politics for those people who maybe don't know as much as others.
This show is at the Denver Art Museum through June 17th.
Correct.
And it has been a traveling show. How many different places has it gone to in the U.S.?
I believe it went to about 8 total. It was at several of the presidential libraries on the East Coast and in Atlanta. So it's been a few places before coming to Denver.
Okay. But it really is a nice show, and it's a great compliment to the Yves Saint Laurent exhibition. So I spent the whole afternoon at the museum. Some people might want to spend the better part of a day, and you have at least one restaurant there and a great gift shop. So there's a lot to do at the Denver Art Museum, as always.
Yeah.
Tara, let's talk about upcoming shows. I heard something, and I hadn't heard about it, but I'm hoping it's not a rumor. Is there going to be a Van Gogh show opening at the Denver Art Museum?
There absolutely is going to be a Van Gogh show. Becoming Van Gogh is a Denver-only exhibition. It's the only place to see this group of works together, and that opens on October 21st and runs through January 20th of 2013.
Okay, October 21st through January 20th. So people start planning their trips now because that sounds fantastic, Van Gogh.
It's more than 70 of Van Gogh's works, as well as some additional works by other artists of the day who he responded to and who you can see how he picked up little pieces of what they were doing and influenced his own work. So it's really a look at the process and how did he become this artist that we all know so well.
And so I imagine that many different works are on loan from museums all over the world.
It's 70 loans from public and private institutions. Curator Timothy Standring has really been working on this for quite a few years, and it's been a labor of love and has just done a fantastic job of getting a really diverse group of works together that show you, you know, how Van Gogh rationally and systematically decided that he was going to become a painter and how he went about really mastering different forms, first, you know, drawing humans and then drawing the figure and then introducing color.
Okay, well, that sounds like a not-to-be-missed show, and that's October 21st through January 20th. And what did you say the title of that is again?
Becoming Van Gogh.
Becoming Van Gogh. I like that title. Anything, any other little scoops you can give us about upcoming events and shows at the Denver Art Museum?
This summer is going to be pretty exciting as well. We have some focus on design and how that plays a role in our lives. We have Now Boarding, Fentress Airports and the Architecture of Flight, which will look at not only the evolution of airports and the architecture and design of them, but, you know, the history of airports and where are we headed in the future. And we're also going to be featuring some local designers in a companion exhibition called Design Lab.
Wow, that sounds pretty exciting. Do you have any sort of a tie-in with Denver International Airport, DIA?
You know, DIA is actually featured in the exhibition because it was designed by Fentress Airport. So what you'll learn, and I think what you take away from the six airports that we feature is how the design draws from the locale. I mean, we're well introduced with the DIA roof, and it looks like the mountains, and it has this peak. And Fentress really does a good job of designing their airports to sort of match and mirror the environment around and the culture in the places where they're being built.
Okay. And when does that open?
That opens on July 17th.
All right. Well, that sounds like another exciting show. And I'm sure there's information about that and all kinds of other events at your website.
Yes. Everything can be found at www.denverartmuseum.org.
Okay. And I am going to be blogging about this and posting this interview as a podcast at my site. And that's bonjourcolorado.com. And Tara, thank you so much for sharing your knowledge about what's happening at the Denver Art Museum. Do you have anything that you would like to add?
We just hope that everyone will stop by when they have some time. And always remember that the first Saturday of every month is a free day, so feel free to join us then as well.
Oh, that's something that's great to know about. And I think for myself, I'm making a mental note that I often go to the art museum for the temporary exhibitions. However, your permanent exhibitions are so rich. I'm going to try and make more of an effort to spend more time in those galleries as well. And thanks for talking about what you have there. Once again, it's Denver Art Museum. .org.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I'm going to be posting this on my site, bonjourcolorado.com. Tara, thank you so much for being a guest on Travel Fun.
Thank you.
Take care. And as they say in French, bonne continuation. And that just means, you know, good continuation with all these wonderful shows. Bye bye.
Thanks.
Come fly with me, let's fly away.
If you can use some exotic booze, there's a bar in far Bombay.
Come on, fly with me, we'll float down in the blue.
Fly with me, float down to Peru.
In Llama Land, there's a one-man band, and he'll toot his flute for you.
Fly with me, we'll take off in the blue.
Once I get you up there, where the air is rarefied,
we'll just glide, starry-eyed. Once I get you up there,